Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
So there was a report over the weekend that they want to take there's an idea to take illegal immigrants and have them compete on a Survivor. On a Survivor.
This is genius, by the way.
Sin.
This is terrific. I'd watch it.
So
Ryan Seacrest will be hosting it.
The producer of that's behind this is Rob Warsoff. They pitch the Trump administration for a reality show where immigrants compete for citizenship. And he said, look, I think the administration is taking this seriously.
Trump's probably like, oh, we like it.
Wait, well, is Mark Burnett producing it? Is this his idea?
I don't know, but this is one of the producers. Roll it.
How seriously do you think the Department of Homeland Security is taking your pitch?
I think they're taking it seriously. I feel good about it. I'm not the Department of Homeland Security. So I can't tell you the whirlwind of the last 24 to 48 hours since my pitch document was leaked to somebody in the press. I don't know where they stand exactly now, but I feel like we're trending in a good way. And I have interest from networks. I have interest from production companies to pair with, and I feel good about it.
You're behind some pretty successful shows. The other ones that I mentioned, you know, people are trying to date millionaires or lose weight in order to win prizes. When it comes to immigration, obviously the stakes are incredibly high. Yeah. And a lot of immigrants, you know, as you noted, are on a waiting list for a long time. And they're desperate to come to the United States. I know you said this isn't Hunger Games, but if someone is watching and thinks
how serious
making
she is.
This a game show is trivializing this, what would you say to them?
I'm really happy you're asking me that question. I was on the first iteration of The Biggest Loser. I was not a senior member. I was just a story producer on it. But I was there. And when The Biggest Loser was announced, there was vitriol coming from the press. They were saying, how are you going to fat shame people? You're calling fat people losers. And I would argue that the stakes there, Caitlin, were as big, if not bigger, because people had heart disease and diabetes, and you were going to take people who were grotesquely overweight, and if they didn't perform well enough for you on your show, you were going to kick them out, and that was terrible. And then, of course, when everybody watched the show, they went, oh, of course, that's not the show that we were expecting. This is a wonderful show. And anybody with half a brain, with a critical mind, thinking about this show for 5 seconds, would of course conclude that it's not the Hunger Games, that it's not some mean-spirited thing that's trying to deport people. It's exactly the opposite of that. I'm very fortunate and lucky and honored to be an American, and I want everybody to understand the process. By the way, most Americans can't pass a basic civics test, and I want to bring people born in America to face off against our future Americans and see how well they would do, because guess what? Most people can't.
So Caitlin Collins is an Alabama graduate, so she'll appreciate this.
Roll Tide.
Look at just the scowl on her face. Everything is so serious with her. Like, it's just relax, lighten up. It's a great idea.
It's
and I guarantee
idea.
You Americans will watch it.
You have Tom Homan come in and say, you're deported.
Yes.
You know,
unlike CNN, this will draw ratings.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. So I will give her credit for this. She's being a provocateur. This is a great interview. They know everybody's going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And the question is a good one. You saw, you know, the way he answered it. But what would the legality be? In other words, they would have to get an agreement.
By the way, this is never going to happen.
Right,
of course
because,
it's not.
Because, well, except for this. The only way I think that they could do it is if somebody buys those. Remember those, like the gold. Remember the gold visa citizenship cards or whatever?
Yeah. Those $5 million cards. Have they sold yet, by the way?
No, I think they did sell some.
Oh,
did
they?
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
No,
I'm
I
sure
don't.
They went. I'm sure they went. I'm sure they went like gangbusters.
That's the only way that you could do it is that you would win. It'd be like Willy Wonka. You know what I mean? Like you win the golden ticket.
I could just imagine the first competition. We're getting ready for whatever the competition includes. And then all of a sudden, Chris Van Hollen from Maryland comes running in to save the day and call off the competition. Here's what I want to know. Can we gamble on it?
Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
Yes.
Because that's half of the reason why I would watch.
Yeah.
But the premise would be that you have people what would it be that they're already here illegally, or
they compete
against American citizens, and now they're what, on some island and they have to survive?
Here's what we do. We have 15, let's just say we have 15 million illegals right now in the country. We get them all together. We put them in a big octagon. Dana White builds this massive UFC cage. We put it on pay-per-view.
Where is he building it?
I don't know yet. We'll figure that out.
Nevada.
Rogan will be on the call. And it'll be a last illegal standing match. 15 million entered. Only one remains.
See, this is your wrestling background.
By the way,
I'm a promoter.
By the way, I love you people. You guys are the party of morality. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, this is a great idea. Oh, this is a great idea.
I never said it was a great idea.
I think we should have regular American citizens tested.
I'm being a provocateur.
If the Supreme Court will intervene and not let Donald Trump do his job.
It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
Of course it's not.
But it's fun to fantasize.
It's never going to happen. But it's fun. Yeah, you're right. It's fun. It's fun to fantasize.
I think we should test regular American citizens, and if they fail, they're out.
All right. By the way, it is 9:10, which means it is time for. And by the way, we have two. I think we have two opens for this.
Kale and Company Fight Club.
You're looking for a fight.
I am looking for a fight.
Fights will go on as long as they have to.
We know fights equal ratings.
You got knocked the f*** out, man.
All right, that's one. That's one of them. Then our buddy Newman Price sent in his own Kale and Company Fight Club.
Trying to upend our own Jimmy Kelly.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to Fight Club. First rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Oh, she said something.
Can't rush Fight Club.
Why you gotta bother me, man?
Because I'm not doing very well at school. We do not talk about Fight Club.
So don't even think about messing with me. Y'all feel me?
This is great.
Damn.
What do you want to do with your life? Are you listening to me?
This is great. Wow.
Kale and Company Fight Club.
Wow.
I like them both. I see we merge them into one file and let that sucker run.
Very nice. Fight Club will be brought to you by something starting on Tuesday or Wednesday. I take you to Florida, okay, where Antonio Brown had a wild Friday night after...
Speaking of people with mental health
issues.
Doesn't
he always?
After walking out of Aiden Ross's brand risk kickboxing event? What the hell is that?
Idea. Aiden Ross was the gamer that he interview Trump in the election cycle?
He did. It's great. It's wonderful. What a society we are. President.
Hey, Bo Loudon, Trump, Baron Trump. They said this is how you're going to get the Ute vote.
He was handcuffed after a serious brawl Friday night, and of course we have it on video. The NFL star gets into a serious scuffle with several people outside the Miami, Florida venue. The video shows him being aggressively pulled to the ground. By the way, I'm reading this from TMZ, after which he gets up and kicks the individual who tackled him before trying to escape the chaos. All right, let's play some of the video there, Phil. Roll it. Wow. Oh. Whoa.
That's Brown right there with the big neck chain.
By the way, this video courtesy of TMZ. Man.
Why do his shoes look like a size 30? You see how big his boots
are?
That's
the style now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Did he steal those from DeSantis?
YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. Another video. Oh, this must be the other. Oh, this shows him being taken out in handcuffs. There you go.
Right. Yeah, he's arrested.
Hey, don't let no one else in the gate. Hey.
Yeah.
There you
go. He's crazy.
He is.
Another video.
He's absolutely crazy.
Yes. Another video shows the beginning of the brawl. Antonio Brown takes several punches after getting into it with one individual. Others join in, and the rowdy altercation sends his hat, sunglasses, and more flying to the ground. He wasn't detained for long. A source tells TMZ he was carted away by officers but returned to the venue about 20 minutes later as a free man.
Yeah.
So there you
See,
go.
See, now, the cynic in me says that that was staged.
Oh,
staged.
Yeah.
Really?
To draw attention to the yeah.
Harry
that's the only
Mays,
reason we know about this stupid thing.
Harry Mays, key conspiracy theorist on the show.
Yeah.
I like this.
Yeah.
I like this. Stage.
Yes. I thought I saw a longer version of the fight where there was more.
There's a lot of videos. We can only pull what we can pull.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
TMZ
a lot of cursing.
TMZ has a lot of
another one of these companies
around, you know what I mean?
All right.
With their video. So,
well, I'm sure Antonio Brown's going to love that you pulled this for Fight of the Day for Fight Club.
Fight Club.
He might even name you Cracker of the Day on his X feed.
That's an honor.
He should.
Donald Trump Jr.'s been awarded the award.
Antonio. Well,
a lot of people have.
And by the way, for every we said for a week, because we started this, I think we started this last Monday, right?
Yeah.
Fight Club.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We told everybody, we said, look, this is going to get a sponsor, so don't sleep on this. Don't sleep on this. And it got a sponsor.
If you were to examine Joe Biden and Antonio Brown's brains side by side, would you notice a difference?
I don't
know. Wow.
Because there's a good chance that Antonio Brown has CTE, and there's a good chance that Biden has dementia. So that's why I ask.
By the way, I want to get back into the white Afrikaners. On the other side, because that is being brought up now because...
Oh, well, 59 of them.
They try... The new talking point now is, what is genocide? And technically, they're not facing genocide. I love all this nuance that goes into this. I love it.
Bizarre.
It's so bizarre. It's so bizarre. Victor Blackwell gets into it with a DHS official, and we'll get to that next.
All right. Kale and Company, as we continue live on a Monday morning...
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Continue with the never-ending Monday cut sheet.
I said before we left for break that the this new South African Afrikaners is
Afrikaans.
Afrikaans, yes, is taking a weird turn here, where now all of a sudden the media is questioning the term genocide. And it's evident in this video with Victor Blackwell from CNN and a DHS official, Trisha McLaughlin, where he says, can we just say that Afrikaners are not facing genocide? And she goes, no, we can't say that. And then they go back and forth about this. It's just, it's interesting to me. This is 24, Phil. It's interesting to me how when the media wants to put in nuance, they do.
Yeah,
right?
When they don't, they don't.
Yeah, 100% right.
Yes.
Roll it.
Can we just start this conversation by agreeing that Afrikaners are not facing genocide?
Absolutely not. First of all, I have to correct the facts, Victor. You said that no refugees were let in. Under President Donald Trump, since January 20th, 8,666 individuals have been granted asylum. Those people have faced persecution for their politics, persecution for the color of their skin, their religion. And that includes those 59 Afrikaners who came in this country last week, who have faced racial violence at the hand of their own government. They've had their land seized because of the color of their skin. There's been over 140 laws enacted that are race-based and to discriminate against racial minorities. So I got to correct the facts where you're on, Victor, and you're wrong.
So, several things. President Ramaphosa says that although the law was signed in January that would give the government the purview to take the land, no land has been taken from Afrikaners. Also, that's President Ramaphosa. He'll be at the White House this week. Take it up with him. Also, the definition
where'd they find this
of genocide
stiff?
Is aimed at extermination, right? And so although there is violence in South Africa, there's violence against black South Africans, too. So when the president says that there is genocide, where is the evidence? The U.S. has not recognized officially genocide. The United Nations has not recognized genocide. And for the thousands of people who you say were let into this country, who've been granted asylum.
Absolutely.
I'm talking under the refugee resettlement program, which the president froze by executive order early in his administration.
So basically, guys, what they're arguing is that it's a technicality because genocide references extermination. Yeah. And nobody's being exterminated, so it's not a genocide.
I was just going to ask, have we agreed on a consensus as to what the definition of a genocide is?
Yeah.
Is it the goal of the intention of exterminating an entire race?
It doesn't involve white people.
Yeah. Right. It's what a bunch of a-holes.
So if you're scoring at home, the LGBTQ plus community is consistently under attack. Sexism and racism cost Hillary and Kamala. But there's no genocide in South Africa, and anti-Semitism is just merely free speech.
And technically, their land has not been taken.
Yeah. Okay. What a bunch of creeps these people are.
And send that guy back to News 5 in Detroit and get him off of scene. Where do they find that bozo?
Yeah. But I love how she just basically systematically destroyed his argument, and he just moved right along to the next thing.
Yeah. Road Warrior with the best chat of the day. Just a handful of violence and murder. Do you remember that from the J.D. Vance? Yes. it's just a handful of gang members in that apartment complex.
I've just had it with these people.
I know.
It's mostly peaceful.
Mostly peaceful.
The shifting of the goalposts is just unacceptable.
Agreed.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a reason why the goalposts are in the back of the end zone, right in the middle of the end zone. Yeah. They don't move as the game progresses. Mm-hmm.
They only move after the game when they get carried down the street
in
Knoxville or
something.
That's right. Yeah. Moving on to cut six here. I think, just getting back into the Epstein thing for a second, I think the person who's doing the best work on the Epstein thing is James O'Keefe. Because he's uncovering things that a lot of people aren't, and he's doing things that probably aren't great for his brand. Because a lot of people are like, "You didn't," because he's going against this administration by doing it. And everyone's like, "You didn't have any evidence," when they loved the stuff that he was doing against Biden and CNN. Now all of a sudden it's different because they're going after one of their own, Pam Bondi. The tribalism is rich.
It's rampant.
In this video, we go inside Jeffrey Epstein's bedroom. A newly obtained image shows a speed dial labels on alleged sex traffickers' landline telephones, revealing associates Epstein called frequently from private island bedrooms. So if he's getting all of this stuff, how much does Kash Patel and Pam Bondi and Dan Bongino have?
Or how much do they not have?
That's a great point, too. Roll this.
Inside Epstein's bedroom, O'Keefe Media Group continues our exclusive tour of the private island formerly owned by the alleged sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein.
You can see
and
the video,
looking
by the
inside
way.
Each of the buildings YouTube. On the yeah, island. Today we're going to bring you inside Jeffrey Epstein's bedroom. We've previously shown you the kitchen and the library, but in Epstein's bedroom, we've made our most dramatic discovery yet. Landline telephones that show pre-programmed speed dial buttons labeled with names. You see the phones on the side of the bedroom tables here.
Uh-oh.
We're going to take a look at these phones and the names on them. But first, the room itself, sparsely furnished. On the desk, you see what's known as a phrenology skull. Phrenology is a debunked pseudoscience linking skull shape to personality traits. On one bedside table, you see a notepad. It says Little St. James, that's the name of the island, printed at the bottom of each page. And a set of reading glasses of similar type worn by Epstein.
Fascinating.
In deposition footage.
No. Get to the names.
The most striking detail, we see a Panasonic console phone on each bedside table.
Yeah.
The multiple lines are labeled. The speed dial buttons bear the names of Epstein's staff and associates. These are the individuals Epstein called most frequently from his private island. Nobody has ever seen these before. We assume the FBI and the Department of Justice has these, but have not released it. Here you have NY office. That's Jeff Epstein's New York City office. This is Karina Shuliak, Epstein's last girlfriend. Darren Off, that's Darren Indyke, an Epstein advisor and lawyer. You have Rich office. That's Richard D. Kahn, Epstein's advisor and lawyer, and Patrick Sell, that's Patrick McMullen, an Epstein associate, and STC office, that's the Special Tax Office of the U.S. Virgin Islands. Here we have another phone that was actually in a different room, but we see some of the same names and some new names. We see a Carlos, a Danny, which looks to be scribbled out with Kim written above it, a Mike, and Anna, and a Juggly. Now, what's interesting about Juggly is, at first we thought it was Ghislaine Maxwell's nickname, but from what we could see online, her nickname, Epstein referred to her as G-Max. Don't know who Jugly is, but maybe you and the audience can help us solve that mystery.
It's Pritzker's
stomach.
These
are all of the known associates that Epstein would call on speed dial. Again, we assume the United States government has this. This is the first time anybody has published these on the internet.
There we go.
I nominate James O'Keefe to head up the Secret Service, the CIA, the FBI, the NHS, anything. This guy can get to... How does he even get access to that?
Yeah.
How did he get there?
Yeah. Incredible.
Now...
Jugly. I need to know who Jugly is.
I know.
Jugly.
Yeah.
Jugly.
Pet name, pet name for Chris Christie?
I don't know. I'm fascinated by all of this stuff, and I...
Did they release more, or is there more coming? Have they teased more?
Yes. Okay. Yes, he's teased a lot more.
Okay.
The place looked very sterile, didn't it?
Well, Chris Hepolito on the YouTube chat says, can you imagine running through that thing with a black light?
Oh. Yeah. A lot of spots would surface.
Gross.
Now, it's been sold, correct? Somebody has actually purchased it?
It's been torn down. Has been torn down?
I don't know. He's O'Keefe's there, so it hasn't been torn down. It looks like it's pretty much staged the way it was left.
Right. Now.
It almost looks like, you know, like somebody that passed away that, you know, like mom never touched the son's bedroom again.
Yeah.
Right.
Left it the way they found it.
Mm.
Right?
I don't know. Interesting.
At least based on what he's telling us there.
Yeah.
I mean, look at those Panasonic phones have got to be 15, 20 years old.
Yeah. I mean, this allegedly took place in the 90s and the early 2000s. So.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. That's what I got for the cut sheet.
All right. Harry Mays, thank you much, buddy.
See you next week.
All right.
See
there you, buddy. He goes.
Oh, no. Next week's Memorial Day.
Oh, yeah. So we're
not here.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't show up.
Congratulations on Fight Club, though. That's terrific.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Fight Club.
9:10 every morning.
There you go.
We will unveil the sponsor of it on either tomorrow or Wednesday.
Okay.
Thanks, Harry.
There he is. All right. Harry Mays with us every Monday for the cut sheet. We'll come back, and he's gone. Unlike Bruno, he doesn't have to do his little good night, everybody, and his whole bit. He's just poof. He's gone. He vanishes. All right, we'll come back and get to a Dawn Stenzel and Big Three, and then all the bells and whistles, including a great prize this week if you like going to summer concerts. But you have to know your movies. It's Kale and Company. Stay right there.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Time for a Dawn Stenzel and Big Three at 9:35.
It's the Big Three and Nine on Kale and Company.
President Trump putting out a notice. Melania and I are saddened to hear about Joe Biden's recent medical diagnosis. We extend our warmest and best wishes to Jill and the family, and we wish Joe a fast and successful recovery. That's the message President Trump put out as they put out a picture of he and former President Biden in the White House as they were seated and shaking hands. And so President Trump, as well as other officials and former presidents, putting out the well wishes as we've been discussing this latest diagnosis that we heard about, an aggressive form of prostate cancer for former President Joe Biden. And certainly it's dominating the headlines this morning. As well, we know that the White House holding a news conference this morning, Caroline Levitt speaking out, wearing bright yellow, and talking about the Trump agenda and really taking a victory lap, if you will, as the Trump administration is grateful that the House put out of committee that big, beautiful budget bill. And now it goes, the vote will go this week to the full House. So we're watching that very carefully. And as well, the headline that President Trump is to sign a Take It Down Act, making it illegal to share any non-consensual explicit images online. So this is an act that Trump will sign into law, one of many. So it's a busy Monday. And here in Philadelphia, jury selection underway. And this is the trial of former Philadelphia police officer Mark Dial. He is facing third-degree murder charges in the death of a motorist, an armed motorist armed with a knife, who did not comply with the police orders. That was Eddie Irizarry back in August of 2023. This trial getting underway on the eve, if you will, the eve of primary election day, which includes the primary election of former Judge Pat Dugan, is challenging, obviously incumbent DA Larry Krasner, and that's happening tomorrow in Philadelphia.
Yeah, our buddy Mark Fusetti just sent me another text. He's going to attend the trial today of Mark Dial. So he will, I'm assuming he will be there and probably...
For the jury selection?
Yeah, probably maybe tweeting out some of the play-by-play, if you will. Love that.
Yeah, and a lot of times that's what we see is that law enforcement, you know, Officer Dial's, you know, former colleagues, they're there to support him. And in this case, you know, we'll see if a jury finds, you know, finds him innocent or finds him guilty. But then usually these things on appeal, we see this over and over because of the way the training is off. I mean, in my experience, most of these cases do get, no matter what happens, as the process, the appeals process, generally speaking, exonerates them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's negotiation for whether they get their job back or, you know, get money back, pay, etc.
Yep.
That's your big three.
All right. Thank you very much, Dawn. By the way, Trump posting on Truth Social. How much did Kamala Harris... By the way, the whole Bruce Springsteen thing is really escalating. I guess Kid Rock came out, told Bruce Springsteen, stay over in Europe, don't come back. And then Bruce was doing another performance, and I guess he doubled down after Trump told him to basically shut his yap. And then Trump posted on Truth Social,
oh, God.
How much did Kamala Harris pay Bruce Springsteen for his poor performance during her campaign for president? Why did he accept that money if he is such a fan of hers first? Isn't that a major and illegal campaign contribution? What about Beyonce? And how much went to Oprah and Bono? I'm going to call for a major investigation into this matter. Candidates are not allowed.
Who said this?
This is Trump on Truth Social.
Oh, okay.
Candidates are not allowed to pay for endorsements, which is what Kamala did under the guise of paying for entertainment. In addition, this was a very expensive and desperate effort to artificially build up her sparse crowds. It's not legal. For these unpatriotic entertainers, this was just a corrupt and unlawful way to capitalize on a broken system. Thank you for the attention to this matter. There you have it.
Great. Well, glad.
Remember, Beyonce, she showed up. She came out. She endorsed Kamala. And then she skedaddled off and never performed.
Glad he's on the case. Nothing more important to do than have a pissing contest with Bruce Springsteen. Fabulous.
And Beyonce.
Fabulous.
And Bono.
Oh,
and who else is
Taylor
out
Swift.
There?
It's order of the deal. It's order of the 70 chess.
By the way, remember I mentioned those gold cards? Lutnick has the U.S. Commerce Secretary, Howard Lutnick, from this area, technically local story.
So you know it's a lie because he said it.
Well, we can check the receipts. He said at least 1,000 of those so-called gold cards, raising $5 billion in a day, 1,000 were sold at $5 million each.
Okay. What's that math? 5 million times 1,000?
Well, he says it's 5 million. He says it's 5 billion.
$5 billion
was raised in a day because they cost $5 million each,
right?
And they sold
times
$1,000
is, yeah,
$5 billion.
Okay,
yeah, I went to his Saudi buddies.
By the way, speaking of other money news out there, did you hear this local story? There are people now suing again Elon Musk upon not receiving those $100. What were they called? Remember,
like
you had
a sweepstakes or something?
The petition.
Was it another grift? Was there another grift happening?
The hell you say?
Just passing along the news.
Ah, they didn't get paid? Ah, cool. Like a bunch of contractors I know, too.
But wasn't it like a lottery or something?
Wow.
Stop. Wasn't it like a lottery or whatever?
I have no idea. Sign up for a petition. Same people that think Dan Bongino tells the truth. All right, 855.
Can I say something? Yeah. I don't know if I should say this. My son Michael, I had to tell you this. I'm sorry to interrupt. My son Michael got one of those $100 checks.
Good for him.
Here in Pennsylvania.
I'm just saying there are people have not, and they're suing. Although I don't know if I would really sue over $100. The paperwork alone is going to cost you more than the $100 you're getting back.
But the weird thing about it is when it comes in the mail... It looks like junk mail. I had it like in the recycling bin.
I actually open every piece of mail we get.
You do?
I do.
Oh, gosh.
My wife's like, I'll discard it. Discard it.
Yeah, that's
what
I do.
You don't know. Just take the time to open it.
Because it doesn't say, it was like from his, like, I don't know, it was from some, like his charity. I forget what it was from, but I guess not everybody. It was like a lottery. You would win something. If you just sign the petition, then you enter into a lottery.
All right, speaking of lottery, we have a giveaway next, right?
Yes, we do. Morning Mystery Movie Clip is up next. Your chance to win your choice of pick your tickets. I mean, I don't know what else we can do for the audience here. I mean, this is just amazing. We're not just, like, force-feeding you, like, cheeseburgers. Well, we did that last week with
last
the Checkers gift card.
Yes.
Now you actually get a choice here. Thomas Rhett, Styx, or the Doobie Brothers?
Uh-oh.
I would go Thomas Rhett, personally. Phil Almquist, I think, would go Doobie Brothers.
I would go Doobies.
Yeah, you would?
Yeah.
I had you pegged for a Styx guy.
No.
Okay. That's the first thing I got wrong today. Kale and Company, the Morning Mystery Movie Clip, what happened today in music history, and what is on tap for the Dawn Show just 16 minutes from now? We all find out those answers next.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, the Dawn Show, coming up in less than 10 minutes. We'll find out what she has lined up as well as what occurred today in music history. But first, time for a Monday edition of Jimmy Kelly's Morning Mystery Movie Clip.
And now, the Morning Mystery Movie Clip on Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Here's what we know.
Wait, Chief. I request the cone of silence.
Oh, Max, not the cone of silence. We're in a safe room, for God's sakes.
We thought the control was safe.
Okay, Lloyd.
Okay, we have reason to believe that our security was breached by chaos.
You have to speak up.
Can you hear me?
I'm not hearing anyone.
What? Can you hear me?
Okay, what did you say?
Bruce, it's not working.
Think you know what it is? Call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
And it is your choice all week long. Now, one thing worth noting, the venue is the same, but the dates and the performers vary, and it's up to you to pick. They are all at the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion in Camden, New Jersey. Your choice, though, Thomas Rhett, July 11th, Styx, August 8th, or the Doobie Brothers, August 13th, all at the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion in Camden. Caller 12, 855-839-1210. We're celebrating Live Nation's $30 Ticket to Summer special on select shows from May 21st while tickets last. If you don't win them, you can go to livenation.com/ticket to summer for more details. From the movies to the music, and here is Phil Almquist.
What happened on this day in music history?
Today, May 19th, we celebrate the birthdays of Pete Townshend from The Who, who's 80, and Phil Rudd from AC/DC, who's 71. Heavenly birthday shouts to Joey Ramone, Dusty Hill from ZZ Top, and wrestling great Andre the Giant. Sing include One of These Nights by the Eagles in 79, Call Me by Diamond Head in 82, Stand Back by Stevie Nicks in 83, Kodachrome by Paul Simon in 73, and Liar by Megadeth in 88. Album include Revenge by Kiss in 92, Soul by Peter Gabriel in 86, Turnstiles by Billy Joel in 76, and Crooked Teeth by Papa Roach in 2017. Also in 79, Supertramp would top the album chart. In 2023, a Fender Stratocaster guitar smashed by Kurt Cobain sold at auction for $600,000. In 93, Depeche Mode began their devotional tour. In 77, the stage show Beatlemania opens at the Winter Garden Theater in New York. In 96, Sonic Youth, the Smashing Pumpkins, Peter Frampton, and Cypress Hill appear on Homer Palooza episode of The Simpsons. But lastly, on this day in 62, Marilyn Monroe sings Happy Birthday, Mr. President, at JFK's 45th birthday celebration 10 days before his actual birthday. For Kale and Company, I'm Phil Almquist.
And that's why, folks, he takes out sports stations and rock stations, because he can weave in The Simpsons to his music bit. Good job out of Phil. All right, good job out of Kim in Glen Mills. She knew the movie in all of 13 seconds. Kim, good morning. What movie did we play for you?
Get Smart.
That is correct. Get Smart is the correct answer. Now, Kim, would you like Thomas Rhett, Styx, or the Doobie Brothers?
I'll take Styx.
Styx? You got it. All right, Kim.
Mrs. Roboto, Kim.
Yes. On a Monday morning, the first set of tickets go to Kim. and she chooses sticks. All right, 9:54, we find out what the Dawn Show is looking like 6 minutes from now.
Yes, we have a lot of breaking news right now as the Trump team. We have a big news conference, live news conference, a lot of news breaking as I speak, so we'll get to that. Coming up right at 10:15, we have Emily Kopp, award-winning investigative reporter at the Daily Caller News Foundation. You've heard from her before, and remember, the New York Times fairly recently said Emily Kopp got it right, complimenting her on all of her COVID coverage. Well, you want to hear her latest reports investigating, looking into other medical dealings, and this one taking aim at the new head of formerly Anthony Fauci's former institute. And this is under the, you know, under the guise of the new administration. So taking a look at the longtime Fauci ally, this virologist who's still there, what is he doing and what is her warning? You got to hear this. This is some great stuff and it's explosive. And of course, as we mentioned earlier, Kathy Barnett on her big special that we are talking about that's going to be tomorrow night. Yes, tomorrow evening, right?
Yeah.
So we're talking about all of that, all the breaking news. And of course, the trial of former policeman here in Philadelphia, Mark Dial.
Okay, Dawn Show is up next. Everybody have a great rest of your Monday, and we will see you tomorrow for a Tuesday edition of Kale & Company.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale & Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.